Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are asteroids and explicit sexual content.
Asteroids?
Asteroids?
What the fuck?
You never know. Someone might be triggered by asteroids.
Space is a scary thing. It triggers me on the daily basis. So.
Yeah.
And I have a Spotify comment. We got quite a few as of late.
Yeah.
Kisses for you all. But this one comes from Daisy, and I know we've read a comment of hers before, but this one says, "You guys have become my go-to podcast. I love y'all so much. You always make me laugh. I hope both sides of your pillows are cold tonight."
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So sweet.
I love a good cold pillow.
Oh, God, me too.
Yeah.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Tower by Claire Kent. And stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear what we all rated it.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years since impact from the asteroid and the whole world ending. She gets herself ready as best as she can, and then she leaves her house. She's on a mission to find the leader of a local biker gang, since they have an alliance to protect the town from outsiders and follow pretty specific rules in regards to women set by their boss. She follows the trail down to the river, since that's where she knows he goes almost every single morning, since she watches him.
Oh, it's a lady watching a man.
Yeah, how the turntables.
Yeah, I like that.
He is there, and when she approaches, he whirls around, telling her to get back to her house before her daddy comes and skins him alive for looking upon his princess. She says that her dad died last night, and she's pretty sure it's from a heart attack.
Oh.
There's no doctors, because asteroid ended the world, so.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
He stares at her a moment before she mentions there aren't enough provisions in the house to last her more than a couple months, and when word gets out that her dad is dead, people will come, and she can only imagine what they'd do to her. She wants protection of a man, and she's willing to trade what she must for it. He gives her a couple options of men in the area looking for a woman, and she says no, she wants him.
All right, girl, get what you want.
He tries to say no, but she mentions that he's just and doesn't let his men rape women or do any of the other things in a world like they live in now. She says that she's willing to trade sex, he could take every provision in the house plus her dad's vehicle, and she'll make him look good with his gang by playing submissive pretty little princess to him. He says, okay, fine, but before they leave, she asks for help burying her father.
Oh.
3 hours later, her dad is buried, they have everything useful packed into the truck, and they head back to his base. We finally learn their names. Her name is Haley, and his name is Levi.
All right.
When they arrive, the show starts. He pulls her out of the truck by her hair, but his grip is actually light, so she's like, okay, we're like immediately in the role of captor and captive.
She's like, oh no, let me go, you big strong animal.
Ow, you're hurting me.
Everyone on base starts whispering about how Boss bagged Rapunzel. They all call him Boss.
Okay.
He takes her to an office where he deposits her with a woman named Jen, and he demands Jen to show Haley around, giving her all the rules. As Jen walks her around, she is told where restrooms are, to stay locked inside Levi's room, don't come out without him or herself, and then she's left in Levi's room with instructions to stay put until Jen can grab her for dinner later. After dinner, Haley's washing up. When she goes back to the room to wait for Levi, she's in her nightgown, and he arrives. The door is unbarred, and he's pissed. He says, lock the door. Part of the rules.
But I thought all his men were good.
Well, like, he can only do so much, and they still have dicks, and they're still men.
That's true. And it's like a post-apocalyptic world, and like, food's hard to get by, women are hard to get by, like, pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A man's gotta have his puss.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Even at the end of the world.
Especially at the end of the world.
Yeah. I feel like men thinking with their dicks. See, here I am being a party pooper. Oh, God. But like men thinking with their dicks. I feel like if it's the end of the world, my pussy would be dried up.
Yeah, I'd be worried about so many things.
There'd be cobwebs, spiders crawling out of it.
Oh.
That would be the last thing I'd be worried about. Last thing. And also, if it was, I'd diddle myself.
Yeah, there you go.
The thought of entertaining a man when it's the end of the world. No.
Have you seen that video of the guy on the news thing? And he's like, I guess there was a fire. And he's like, whatever they do, I hope they don't touch the peanut butter. Because I touched it. I did things to it.
Oh, my
no,
God.
What? No.
It's so funny.
Men.
It's this guy with Down syndrome. And he's getting interviewed on the news.
Oh, and he's like, God. I touched the peanut butter.
The peanut butter is a victim.
I put my penis in it.
Yeah, it's so funny.
People do that.
Yeah.
Also, we don't kink shame.
She's in her sexiest nightgown and he looks her up and down.
I wait. Finally, he mutters, we don't gotta fuck tonight. My eyes widen. What? Why not? Your daddy died last night. I can wait. I don't much care one way or the other. Well then, isn't that flattering? Thank you.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, good night then.
I'm in emotional distress. Thank you.
She says, no, we're doing it tonight. I gotta get the first one done and out of the way so I'm not anxious anymore. And he's like, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Simple, simple man.
They both undress and she starts feeling herself up to get herself started because she knows this man ain't gonna get her to come.
Open up here, he says gruffly, pointing toward my groin. I do as he says, spreading my legs to expose my pussy. The cool air against my intimate flesh is startling and embarrassing. My cheeks are burning again. My breath is coming out in little pants.
Imagine you just met this man this morning and he's like, open up your legs, let me see that pussy.
Yeah. Are you a caveman?
He is kind of caveman-y.
Open up.
He's a gruff man.
We don't gotta fuck tonight.
He puts a finger in her and starts to rub her clit until she's wet enough, and then he pulls his dick out.
I've had sex with 3 different men in my life. All of them look different. Leve's cock is decent sized, thick and circumcised with dark hair around the base. He looks fine. Nothing too strange or intimidating.
So I know we haven't had a micro penis, but we never had a decent one.
I was gonna say, love
regular, it. Regular, degular, schmegular dick.
Love a regular dick.
Uh-huh.
It's not a monster one, but it's not a micro.
It'll do.
That'll do, donkey.
They start fucking and he asks if she's okay. She says yes, but again, I'm not going to come tonight, so just do your thing until you finish. He picks up the pace and then pulls out, coming all over her stomach. The next day, Leve goes to the river by himself as Haley does her thing and meets her first friend at base. Her name is Becca, and they go to the kitchen for their first duties of the day. Once everyone is served, Leve shows up, and Haley makes his plate extra special and different from everyone else's and brings it to him. The whispers start again, and he seems pleased but doesn't say anything, just eats his food, and then he leaves. So she's like, here you go, boss.
She, like, made a garnish and everything.
Yeah, everyone else gets, like, prison gruel.
Well, it's the end of the world.
Later in the afternoon, when Levi's back in the room, he thanks her for breakfast because it was delicious and made him a king to his people to be served like that. She offers him a foot rub and he says okay. He's kind of skeptical of it, but ends up loving it and falls fast asleep. For dinner, it's the same thing. He sits at his table and she makes him an extra special plate that nobody else got, and then he pulls her into her own seat next to him. She waits for a minute and then one of his men serve her dinner.
Oh.
Also, if I was on base and this motherfucker was getting a gourmet meal, well, I'm getting the basic meal at the end of the world, I'm gonna be pissed.
She doesn't get one either?
No.
She just gets like a regular meal.
Yeah, but she's the boss's other half.
I'd be like, you're bringing snacks, right? Like up in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring me a bag of chips.
Mama needs to eat.
I don't think there are snacks in this world.
I don't think so either.
Oh my God, I'd rather kill myself.
After dinner and washing up, Leve needs her and tells her to undress.
His eyes immediately drop to my breasts and then farther to the cleft between my thighs. The cleft. I hate that.
Yeah.
I can't help but like the way his expression heats up as he stares at me. He's already getting hard, quicker than yesterday, and even I'm feeling some tingles of excitement between my legs, mostly from his responses.
Not the tingles.
Yeah, get into it.
It all starts with a tingle. That's all you need.
A little something funny down there.
Yeah.
He has her climb on top of him and she has to work herself up just to get ready. But when she's finally ready, she sits on his dick and admits that she's not sure what to do. He helps her move a little bit until she finds her rhythm. She again says, "Yeah, I'm not going to come from this, but you just let me know when you're ready and I'll pop on off."
Hot.
Yeah.
She's like, it's mediocre at best.
The next day goes the same, but a man nicknamed Sick gropes her in the kitchen. Levi catches it and hits him in warning for everyone else not to touch what's his.
For the next 2 weeks, she adapts at base, fucks Levi, and gets to know the names of everyone there and everything she can know about where she now calls home. Eventually, all of her adrenaline from the move and the change wears off, and she crashes. It just so happens to start while her and Levi are doing it doggy style for the first time. And the thing is, our girl likes it, and she's like, hold on, I think I can actually come from this.
I get it.
You deserve an orgasm at the end of the world.
You do. If that's what you want, yeah, you do.
Yeah. Get your nut, girl.
Get your nut.
She's usually really quiet when they have sex, but with doggy style, she just can't help herself. Every time he slams into her, she's making noises she's never made before.
Jesus Christ, girl.
He always calls her girl, by the way. Like, not like her name. He's always like, hey, girl.
Jesus Christ, girl.
Yeah. She's like 25 and he's like 40 something.
Yeah.
Girl.
Age gap.
It's Slim Pickens.
Oh, yeah, it is. He's kneeling behind me. One of his hands is braced on the headboard beside mine, and his other arm is wrapped around my middle, holding me in place so the force of his rutting doesn't topple us. You're wet as hell tonight. A wave of heat slams into me, and I don't know if it's intensified arousal or shame. Maybe both. I make a whimpering sound that's going to have to stand in for a response. Should've told me you like it dirty. Who knew my pretty little princess would want me to do her from behind?
Slut!
Whore. Is that dirty, though?
No, everyone loves to get hit from behind.
Yeah. That's pretty textbook, in my opinion.
I feel like that's, like, vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a crazy bitch doing doggy style.
Maybe the end of the world changes people.
Missionary only.
Yeah.
Okay, but don't hate on missionary, okay? I feel like missionary does its job. Gets it done.
I'm a certified pillow princess. I live for missionary.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes I like to switch it up, keep him on his toes.
Not me. If Zach is like, get on top, I'll just pretend like I fell asleep real quick.
Lay dead, fall off the bed.
This turns around even more, and now she's really getting after it. She's holding onto the headboard and fucking him. His encouragement is a cherry on top, and she has her first ever Levi orgasm.
Levi is still going behind me, muttering about how good I'm coming for him, how hot I am right now, how he'll fuck me just like this anytime I need it. My pussy is clamped down around his cock, and he can barely hold out before I've worked through the lingering waves of my orgasm. As soon as I've relaxed and quieted to ragged gasps, he makes a stretch sound, pumps hard a few final times, and then yanks himself out to come all over my bottom and lower back. My body is still buzzing with pleasure and satisfaction, but also something greedy, something that wants even more. Like anal.
No.
Oh, like love.
Maybe.
Or more orgasms.
Yeah.
Oh. Because Levi's done, but Haley isn't. She just hold on to the headboard still with her pussy still plastered to the world. Well, I guess to Levi's world. And he's like, you want more, yeah? And she's like, let's see what you got. He starts finger blasting her until she comes again and again. And after her second post-sex orgasm, she's like, okay, I really can't feel my pussy anymore. That's fine. Thank you.
Go, Levi.
Yeah.
Haley's really digging her situation now. But with the whole emotional outlet via amazing sex and orgasm, in the middle of the night, she wakes up and is struck with deep grief.
Like about her dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad.
Took like 5 orgasms to finally cry about her dad.
Yeah.
She's like, God, I miss my dad.
Her daddy had to fuck her sadness over her dad out of her. Yeah.
There you go.
She stumbles out of bed and in the dark, she hits the dresser. And on that dresser, it had the crystal butterflies that belonged to her mom. And her mom passed away right after the asteroid hit because of the fumes and shit. And her mom had like these little crystal butterflies and they were really like sentimental. And when she hit the dresser, it flew off and it cracked in half and she just started spiraling.
I would too. I'm very attached to things.
You know what I love about things?
What? That you can throw them away?
Throwing them away.
Yeah, I knew it.
Sicko!
I just knew that about you. I knew it.
if my mom gives me anything, I'm like, I have to keep this because once she's dead, if I throw that away, I'm going to remember that and I'm going to be a big piece of shit.
Ugh. My dad gave me a box full of Christmas decorations from my childhood. And as I was cleaning up the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, thank you very much.
Jesus Christ.
I went out to the garage to go get a box to put the Christmas ornaments in. And I said, I didn't put these out this year. Dumpster. Threw them all away. Extra box. More storage.
Right. Could never, but love that for you. Keep a clean home.
Uh-huh.
I only kept a couple of my childhood ornaments when my mom gave me all of mine, and then I threw the rest away.
Yeah, what am I going to do with these?
I don't remember them.
Yeah.
I have this SpaghettiO plate that I used to eat SpaghettiOs off of as a child. It had like the little SpaghettiO smiley face on the bottom of it. Broke it tonight. Shattered it. Had that since I was like 5. I'm going to grieve that for a few days.
How will you eat SpaghettiOs?
And my grandma got that for me. So when she dies, she's going to know I broke that plate.
Why don't you just ask her for a new SpaghettiO plate?
She's blind.
Oh, that's fair.
Grandma, if you're listening, love you.
Good thing we're audio only.
Yeah. Why?
Because she's blind.
Right.
So Haley's having a full mental breakdown while trying not to wake up Levi. She's like crying in the fetal position on the floor and like finally crawls back into bed and just like continues crying until he wakes up in the morning for his morning duty shift. And she just fake sleeps and then she continues to cry after he leaves. Everyone can tell that something is off with her, but they leave her to herself. After breakfast, she's wallowing in her well-deserved self-pity and cries some more in the room. Levi comes in and he's like, all right, what's going on? She just asked to be alone, but his mind's going to the worst spot and he's like, God damn it, Haley, you're gonna tell me what the fuck is up right now. Who hurt you? And she breaks down and tells him that she just misses her dad.
My dad hurt me by dying.
She has a new one, like fucking chill.
It's not her father, it's her daddy. It's not the same.
He's still taking care of her just like her father.
Not just like her father, hopefully.
Yeah. Ooh. He could be like a stand-in father figure.
Plus sex.
Plus the sex, fucking. Yeah.
Surprisingly, though, Levi understands. She was never given much time to grieve her dad, so he tells her she can take as much time as she needs to grieve, but will continue to eat and stay healthy. That's his only deal. Softening for her pookie, she tells him, tell the gang she's up here as punishment and to make sure his bad boy image stays in check, and she stays in the room for 10 whole days.
Oh my god.
It's by her choice. She's just really depressed.
Yeah. She's like, Bella,
there's a possibility. On the 8th day, he asks if she wants to go to the river in the morning, which is a big deal because he goes every single morning and never once has he offered to her. So she says yes. She starts getting back into her daily movement rather than crying all day long. And she showers. She has sex with Levi. She does some yoga and she gives him his normal foot rub. So things are starting to really look up for her. The next day, she asks Levi in the morning when he's getting ready for the river if she can go outside to do her yoga, and he agrees to get her set up in a safe space outside with a man named Hawk watching over her. And after she smiles at Hawk, for the first time ever, she sees relief on Levi's face. So, like, he's, like, really happy that she's not gonna kill herself anymore.
That's your man.
He smiles.
It's a week later and there's some light flirting going on between Levi and Haley. He was telling her if she wants something, all she has to do is ask because he's not a mind reader. And he was like purposely kind of riling her up and she really likes it. She gives him his favorite thing, a foot rub. But this time when she's finished, he tells her, thank you, sweetheart.
So many foot rubs.
She does it like every night.
Yeah. Like, gross.
Yeah, his feet are probably rank.
Yeah.
She's doing her trad wife duties.
She thanks him for treating her nicely and not treating her like a piece of shit. And out of gratitude, her hands start traveling up his thighs and she sees his dick get bigger. He's like, I don't want no pity blowjob from you. And she says, hold your horses, partner. There's no pity. I just want to make you feel good. Also, I do have to note that she was just rubbing this man's grimy ass sweaty feet. And then she's about to give the gluck gluck 3000.
Yeah, with her nasty little hands on there. Ugh.
She uses lotion.
Yeah, but still, no, I think that might make it worse.
Ooh. Flower scented foot. blowjob.
Fungi.
Yum.
She's like, toe cheese.
Ew.
I hate the word cheese being used for any bodily gross. No, no, no.
She tells him that she's given blowjobs before, but she might not be the best, so feel free to dish out any tips as needed.
He huffs in amusement, but the laughter changes to a groan as I lean over and give the tip of his cock a hard suck. Jesus Christ, his hips come all the way up off the seat. Give me a little warning, girl, or I'll blow my whole load in 2 seconds. Oh, I don't know why, but the girl throws me off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly because he's like way older than her.
Yeah. Because like when I say girl, it's like to another girl. Like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000. And when he mentions to her that he's going to come, she doesn't pull away and decides to swallow all of him down. She's so turned on and she's thinking that she's about to go hide somewhere to rub one out. But Levi can read her like a book at this point, and he tells her he'll take care of her.
I whimper wordlessly. You really do like it dirty, don't you? No soft, pretty romance for my girl. So now you're going to let me fuck you with my fingers, and you're going to like it real bad. Yeah, yeah, you are.
Maybe it was the grief. Maybe it was being cooped up for so long. But Haley does something so stupid at dinner. It starts fine. She makes him a beautiful special meal like normal, and then even gives him her leftovers. But when she goes to refill his water, she stops to talk to Becca, who just painted her nails, and Levi calls for her with a twinge of annoyance in his voice, and he's like, "Hey girl, where's my drink?" And she's just like, "You're not gonna die of thirst." Like, she starts getting like mouthy with him. And it kind of like makes him look bad in front of all of his little gang members. And she's like, "You're not my boss." Like, she starts talking back to him.
Girl, yes, he is.
Girl's got balls.
And then everyone at the table starts laughing, all of them except for Levi. He gets up and he grabs her hair and yanks her upstairs to the bedroom, which is directly above the lounge where everyone is. Once inside the room, he locks the door and she starts apologizing profusely and literally had no idea what to do. So she starts taking her top off and he just starts laughing out loud, which is the first time in the book that he's laughed.
Uh-huh.
She's like, "Wait, what's happening?" And he's like, "Dude, I'm literally 40 and you just sent me to heaven with the best blowjob ever 3 hours ago. I do not have the sex drive for this. Like, you're gonna kill me." And she's super confused because she's like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "I don't know. I just did what everyone expected me to do. Like, I don't want to fuck. We can just sit here and chill and like let them think whatever they want to think. I don't mind that you talk back to me. I don't really care."
Nice.
She starts laughing along and is like, "Oh my God, okay, I'll act all submissive for the rest of the week." They're like conspiring with each other. She's like, "I'll act submissive for the rest of the week so everyone thinks I learned a good lesson." And they're like laughing back and forth. She starts rocking the bed and he's like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "We gotta sell it so they think that you're teaching me a lesson." So he gets on the bed too and starts rocking it up against the wall.
When it feels like it's gone on long enough, I yell at the top of my voice, "Yes, yes, you're the boss, you're the boss. Put on a show."
Levi totally loses it, laughing so hard in a way that probably hasn't happened since before Impact. And Miss Ma'am is doing good for herself at the compound. It's a month later and she starts teaching yoga classes every morning with about 7 to 9 people joining every session. She's in a super good mood today because Levi comes home from his 3-day scavenging trip. And in the 2 months that she's been here, this is the longest he's been away from her and she misses her Pookie so much. A little after lunch, the doors swing open and he's home. Becca just painted her toenails, so he swoops her up and carries her to the bedroom. When she thinks he just wants to sleep after his long, strenuous journey, he says, "What are you doing, girl? Get naked."
I unhook my bra and drop it on the floor. My pussy is already fluttering in anticipation, but I'm inexplicably touched by the gruff, muttered words, "Take off all of it." He's watching every move I make. After I shimmy out of my panties, he adds, "You can leave the boots on." Fucking with your shoes on.
On the bed? Foul.
Animals.
Levi doesn't last long, but that's okay because he hits her with the 1, 2, 3 finger combo.
Not one, not two, 3. "Get your knees farther up, girl. There you go. You really love showing me your sweet pussy, don't ya?" Ick.
She's screaming how much she loves showing him her pussy. And after she comes, he tells her how much he missed his girl. Later, they talk about how tomorrow he probably has to head back into town for the day because there's another group about 4 hours out. And he wants to talk to them about trading supplies. Haley's a little bummed because she just got him back. And he's like, "Well, you could probably tag along if you want." We can take your dad's truck. It'll be safer. And when he saw how happy it made her, it was a done deal. They're on the road now, and so much has changed since the asteroid hit 3 years ago. 2 hours into the drive, they go from Indiana into Kentucky, and a few hours later, they find the farm. Once they are, like, deemed friends and not foe, they are let through the gate, and before Levi gets pat down, he gives her a smooch, and it's, like, the first time he's openly shown affection to her that's not just, like, in the bedroom for sex. This farm has a lot of trading potential. They have fields, animals, equipment, and they stay for 2 hours, and then they head on back. On their way back, Levi's happy that she's happy and apologizes for not thinking of getting her out sooner, but he'll be more mindful to take her out with him. When they're just about back to the campground, Haley was like, "We have food. I wish we could have a little picnic." And Pookie says, "Bet. I know just the place." He pulls down a long road that clearly used to be an orchard with the narrow trees lining the street on both sides. And there's an old cutesy gazebo on the land. Haley loves it so much and they start their cute little picnic. Levi tells her this place is his and belonged to his family for 5 generations, but to not get it twisted, he was a bad boy and was in prison for a little bit before impact. He came back after his dad died to take care of his mom and joined the biker gang, and the rest is history.
That's why he's so rough and gruff.
As they're looking at the nearly dead orchard, he tells her that some of the trees might make it. Some produce apples and pears every once in a while. It might be a long shot, but he's got to keep hope. They have a tender moment where he says there's been 34 weddings in his family that's happened in this gazebo, and he's the only one left from his family. Haley cries for him and then kisses him, and things start getting a little bit intimate. He pulls her away and she's like, "Oh, like you didn't like that?" And he says, "I loved it, but we're not safe here until we get home. So let's take a rain check and finish this when we get back." The next morning, he wakes her up and asks if she wants to go to the river before her yoga morning classes, and she says yes, she would love it.
A month passes and it's Haley's birthday, but she hasn't told Levi. He wakes her up to go to the river, but she's too groggy, so he tells her to go ahead and sleep in if she wants. She's been going with him consistently for the last few weeks, but she tells herself it's her birthday and she wants to spend it with Levi, so she drags herself out of bed. They go to the water and play around, splashing and wrestling and smooching, and then they sit on a rock and watch nature. They've bonded a lot lately, and Levi has even opened up to her a little bit about his past, and she's told him about what she used to hope for in the future before the world ended. So their relationship is getting pretty serious. The rest of the morning is fairly normal. She leads her yoga class, which now has a group of 12 participants.
Cute.
I know. That morning, she helps out in the kitchen, but Sick is there too. Remember, Sick is the guy that Levi punched in the face for groping her earlier?
Oh, yeah.
And she swears that she can feel his slimy eyes on her whenever Levi isn't looking. After her kitchen duties are done, she takes a little nappy, and then she hangs out with Becca until Levi gets back from rebuilding a section of the wall around their little town. He gets back a little bit before dinner, and she gives him his daily foot rub. But when he falls asleep, he, like, really falls asleep and is having a hard time even waking up for dinner. But he swears to her that he's fine. She's worried. She's like, "Oh my God, is he getting sick? What is happening?"
Yeah, I would be worried too. And you can't even Google anything.
Eventually, she gets him up and at him for dinner, and she's shocked to see that he set up a whole surprise party for her down at the lounge. There's confetti, balloons, and there's even a banner. So that's what he was working on all day. Sneaky guy.
Cute.
She's so thrilled with all of it that she jumps up and down, squealing with delight. She looks at Levi and asks how he knew, and he just tells her she still has her old driver's license.
Smart.
She thanks him and then turns to everyone who showed up and thanks them too, thinking to herself that this really does feel like home now, and these people feel like her friends. And after her dad died, she never thought she would have that again. They eat a fancy dinner of roasted pork and baked potatoes, and there's even a big old chocolate cake for her. In the apocalypse? What a delicacy.
Yeah.
She opens up some presents, and she got a new jacket, some books, and a beautiful necklace with a tree-shaped pendant, and she knows that this one is from Levi because of the orchard.
Oh, right.
The party starts to wind down, and she's snuggling up to Levi when Sick chimes in and says that she hasn't gotten her birthday spankings yet. She rolls her eyes, but then the rest of the guys join in, saying that it would be a good way to remind her of who the boss really is, and now she's looking up at Levi to see how he's going to respond, and he's fucking pissed. But Sick is an idiot and doesn't catch on, so he keeps on rolling with it, demanding she be bent over the boss's knee. Finally, Levi bellows out, "Enough!" Birthday spankings aren't your business, and besides, they'll be happening in private. And now Haley's giggling to herself, wondering if she's really going to be getting some spankings when they're done.
Yeah.
Finally, they're back in their room, and she changes into her sexiest lingerie while Levi washes up. She decides to spice things up a bit and pulls her hair up into a set of pigtails and then puts on her new necklace. When Levi comes out of the bathroom, his jaw drops, and he tells her a little warning next time would be nice because it can't be good for a man to get this hard this fast, and he calls her a naughty girl.
Oh.
She tells him since it's her birthday, he's gonna do whatever she wants, and what she wants is for him to sit in the chair so she can suck his dick.
Couldn't be me, girl.
That's what you want?
It's her birthday, and she's like, I want to suck your dick.
Hell no.
She has to assure him it's because she wants to do it for her own pleasure, and he's finally like, okay, fine. Then she says when she takes the edge off of him with the head, he's gonna give her the best birthday spankings, and then he's gonna fuck her, and then she gets to suck in. She gets real into it and winds up down there for a whole 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
My nightmare. My TMJ could never.
If it lasts more than like 7 minutes, I'm like, oh my fucking God, come on.
What am I doing wrong, God?
Yeah, wow, I suck. Thank you.
She's having the time of her life, feeling like she might just come just from giving him pleasure.
Okay, girl. Every muscle in his body has tensed up, and he's rasping out a refrain made up of, that's right, sweetheart. You're doing so good. You're sucking me just right. Keep going. You can take more. You can take all of me. You're so turned on now. I see how much you love doing this for me, and you're doing so good. You're so good. All right.
I think that would work on me until my jaw would feel like it's going to fall off, and then I'd get pissed. I'd be like, shut the fuck up and come.
At that point, that's when I'd be like yanking on it with my hand, being like, you just need to come now.
I would give some sloppy toppy. It would be so sloppy, it'd go down his butt crack.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He comes in her mouth and she swallows it all up, and then he tells her it's time for her spankings, but she feels a little nervous about it. He can see this and tells her they've never done this before, so if it gets to be too much, she can tell him to stop and he will. He says she's a dirty girl though, so he's pretty sure she's gonna like being spanked. She lays across his lap and he pulls her panties down, but instead of starting right away, he starts caressing her all up and down her thighs. She's basically vibrating out of her body and begging for him to finally do it, but he tells her she needs to be patient.
I don't want to be patient. I want to come. I know you do. You got real excited sucking my dick earlier. I could see how hard your throat muscles were working to take me down like that. You did real good. So now I get my spankings. When you wait for them patiently. I'd be like, bitch, it's my birthday. I just sucked your dick forever. Just do what I'm asking.
Spank me.
Yeah.
She tries her best to be a good girl, and finally he asks if she's sure she's ready for 26 spankings. She says she's super sure, and then he lands the first one, and she is positively soaked. She loves it.
Nice.
He tells her to count out loud. By the time they're at 16, she's begging him for more. By 22, she's screaming out and thanking him, and on the 26th spanking, she comes.
Hell yeah. That's crazy. I shake helplessly, sobbing in pleasure as my pussy clamps down over and over again around nothing. Fluid is leaking from my entrance, and every nerve in my body throbs with sensation, pushed unexpectedly into overdrive. Over spankins.
Over spankins. She starts straight up sobbing, and Levi's like, oh shit, Haley, are you okay? She says it's exactly what she wanted, and she came so hard it broke something in her, and she doesn't know why.
Happens to me so often.
No fucking way.
After sex? Yeah. Is this a unique experience?
I mean, I've never cried after.
No. I've had my eyes water.
Not even that. No.
Greg's just rocking your world, girl.
Go off, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it.
My man pipes it down.
And that's not to say, like, I don't come with Andrew, but I've never cried.
I've never cried.
I think I cried one time because I felt like Andrew treated me like a cum rag.
That's a sad cry.
Yeah, but also, like, I was unmedicated, so, like, that's probably not what happened. But in my head, I was like, I'm just a cum rag. I'm married to him. What?
You're his cum rag.
Yeah.
He cuddles and soothes her until she calms down and says she's good now. Maybe she just needed to cry as badly as she needed to orgasm. And she says she's better than okay. She's happy. He looks at her for a second, and then they have an emotional, passionate makeout session. He gets up and grabs some lotion and tells her that it's her turn for a foot rub. She's hesitant at first and feeling really awkward about it, but once he gets started, she's literally moaning. He finishes the first foot and then the second, and now she's all juiced up and ready to go.
Juiced up.
Uh-huh. He tells her to slide forward on the chair because, remember, she fully has no panties on, and then he spreads her thighs, and he's never gone down on her before.
Yeah, because why? It's like post-apocalypse, their water is rainwater that they use to shower.
So he's not going to get up on her pussy, but she can go down in his groin?
True.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He's got his tongue all the way into my pussy, thrusting it like his cock. When I grab for his head and hold it in place with a fierce grip, my orgasm is building quickly now. I'm almost there. He's making low humming sounds as he works me over, so he's clearly enjoying it too. He moves back to my clit, sucking hard as he edges one finger inside me, curls it against my G-spot. I come hard and loud, clenching all around the one finger. He keeps sucking and pushing until I come a second time. Then he rears up, grinning fairly as he rises to his feet and then lifts me up. I wrap my legs around him as he carries me over to the bed. When I go down, I pull him with me, and soon he's gotten his hard cock inside me and is fucking me fast and wild sideways on the bed. Sideways? Fun.
They're banging crazy style, and she can't tell whether she's coming or not because it all feels so good. And then Levi makes a moaning sound and comes inside of her. They collapse together, and she tells herself this is the best birthday ever. He freaks out about coming inside of her for a second, but she reassures him it's more than likely fine, and then they fall asleep snuggling. She wakes up in the middle of the night, tangled up in him, and hears him mumbling under his breath in his sleep the word sweetheart, and she falls asleep smiling.
Cute.
They both wake up a bit before sunrise, and she tells him what she heard, but he's like, oh, you misunderstood. I wasn't calling you sweetheart. I was calling my Harley sweetheart. He's a motorcycle. Right. She acts fake offended until he pulls her into a kiss and tells her, of course she's his sweetheart. She's his only sweetheart. But deep down, she wanted to hear him say more than just that and gets in her head about it. She's like, why didn't he say he loved me?
Girl, I get you.
He senses the mood shift and asks if she's regretting anything with him, and she says no, of course not. She really won the lottery when she made the decision she did the day her dad died. There's no one else she wants in her bed, or her life, or her future. What she really wants to say is that she loves him, but she stops herself. Levi kind of guesses what's going on in her mind and looks at her with pure devotion, and then shakes his head and says he needs to ask her something. Did she ever feel like he took advantage of her? And she says, no, of course not. And he's like, okay, because I've not been a good man, and I want to be a good man for you. A better man.
Sweetie.
He tells her that before her dad died, he used to look up at her through her window and just think to himself how beautiful she was, like an angel. And he still doesn't understand why she chose him that day. She says she knew he'd never force anything on her, and with him, she could actually have some semblance of freedom. She knew all of this partly because of what her dad told her, and partly because she used to watch him when he went down by the river. She could see how tired he was and how much this new world exhausted him. The bad people out there love this new reality, but not him. She asks if he would have forced himself on her the first night if she hadn't offered, and he's appalled and says, no, of course not. And she's like, see, I'm safe with you. She chose him that day, and she's choosing him now, and she'll always choose him. He kisses her deeply and tells her how badly he just wants to do right by her, and she promises him that he is.
Oh.
They snuggle a little bit longer, and then he tells her he has to take a few guys up north to scope out some troublemakers and make sure they aren't planning any funny business. He tells her it'll probably be fine, but he'd feel more comfortable with her staying up in the room while he's gone. This pisses her off, though, and she's like, I'd be the only one stuck in their room, and I was trapped in a room for years before I got here. I do not want to do that. He tells her it's his job to take care of her, and she's got to let him do that, but she's like, I do let you do that, but I'm not some princess to be locked in a tower, and you aren't going to imprison me when you're not here. He softens and tells her it's exhausting trying to keep her safe in this shitty world, and she's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm such a burden to you.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, she's doing it.
Oh, she's doing it.
She's full on.
He tells her that's not what he meant, and she knows it, but she's already mad, and she tells him she's not going down to the river with him today, since she's to be locked up like Rapunzel. He just groans and stands up to walk toward the door. She calls his name, but he walks out anyway.
You guys.
Work it out.
It's their first fight.
She cries for a little bit and then gets herself together to do some yoga, telling herself, couples fight. This is totally normal and they'll talk it out later. She gets out there earlier than normal and starts doing her stretches when none other than Sick pops out from behind a tree. He tells her that Levi is hurt and needs her. She's confused and terrified, so she follows him as he leads her to the driveway where her dad's truck is parked, and then he punches her square in the face.
Ugh, I knew that guy was gonna come back around.
He zip ties her arms, gags her, and starts to drag her toward the truck, but then the shock wears off and she starts fighting back. He punches her in the stomach this time and then zip ties her feet and throws her in anyway. She's freaking out as Sick starts driving them about how Levi is down at the river and he's gonna come back and think she took her dad's truck and left because of their fight. She gets the gag out of her mouth and asks Sick why he's doing this. He tells her nobody actually likes him here and he'll bring her up north to a gang of guys he's been talking to. These guys actually take what they want and Levi won't be able to get to them. And that's the gang of ruffians that Levi was talking about earlier that might cause problems.
No.
He says Levi's been acting like he's king of the castle ever since Haley got here, and Sick wants him knocked down a few pegs. Then he tells her that before they get to the guys up north, he's planning on having a little fun with her to see what all the fuss is about, and now Haley feels like she's gonna vomit. She knows there's no way Levi will find her in time, and she's gonna have to save herself. She uses her superior yoga flexibility and she wiggles herself into a position to bring her feet down hard, which causes him to lose control of the truck and crash into a ditch. She does her best to brace herself for the impact, but she hits her head hard and everything goes dark. The next thing she hears is Levi begging her to wake up. He picks her up and gets her out of the totaled truck and she feels nothing but pain.
It's all right. You're gonna be all right. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I never should have left you that way. All I wanted was to be a good man for you, and I acted like a shitty one instead. I'm so fucking sorry, but you don't get to die. I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm not living in this goddamn world without you. Pookies.
I know. She manages to say his name and he tells her he's so sorry as he checks her body over for injuries. She tells him he's not shitty and she's sorry for this morning, and he says he's sorry too. She reorients herself and tells him she thinks she just got bruised up and the only real injury she thinks she has is the one on her head. The truck is still in the ditch and she can see Sick dead in the driver's seat. He's super bloody and she doesn't know if the crash killed him or if Levi did. Either way, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Bye. You won't be missed.
She asks Levi to get him out of her dad's truck. She doesn't want his nasty blood all over it. Levi walks over and throws the body into some weeds like a pile of trash. He tells her he thinks the guys can probably fix it back up to be drivable. Then he breaks and collapses on the ground, telling her how he was so scared when he first found her missing, thinking it was too late and that she was dead. He didn't even get halfway to the river this morning before he turned around to go back and apologize to her, and he realized she was gone. He tells her that her freedom and happiness is more important than his comfort, and he's not gonna lock her away just to keep himself comfortable. She throws herself into his arms, and he tells her he's gonna keep her happy and give her everything she wants, no matter how hard it is. He'll do that for the rest of his life if she'll have him, and she says, yes, of course I'll have you. They hop up on his motorcycle and head home.
He turns his head over one shoulder to show me. I'm gonna be smiling the rest of my life. Never thought you could ever love me for real. I make a squeaking sound. Hey, I never said I love you. Didn't you? I thought you did. Asshole. I mutter without any heat. I'm still grinning as much as he is. He laughs uninhibitedly. I love you, sweetheart. Good. I sniff. I love you too.
Can you imagine like getting into a horrible car crash where you like literally pass out from hitting your head so hard and then having to get on the back of a motorcycle and hold on to someone?
Yeah, those roads aren't smooth either.
No.
Yeah. Your brain's probably just rattling around.
I know.
Yeah. They get back to the base and literally everyone is outside waiting for them. Becca runs up and hugs Haley, relieved that she's safe and alive. Everyone is praising Levi for getting there in time, but Levi's like, nope, I didn't. Haley saved herself, and I suggest nobody else fuck with her. He's so proud of his girl, and Haley's proud of herself too. Some of the guys go get the truck and bring it back to be repaired. Levi and Haley grab their lunch to go eat up in their room. He's staring at her super intensely, and she's like, are you trying to fuck right now? And he's like, I am absolutely not thinking about fucking right now. What the fuck?
You're concussed.
She asks if he's still upset, and he says, yes, I am. I almost lost you. And he's so sorry for leaving this morning the way he did. He'll never do it again. She just smiles and says, okay, good. It's all done and over with then. He asks her again if she's sure about staying here with him and offers to find her own farm in Kentucky where she doesn't even need a man to survive. But she's like, no, I love you, and I wouldn't change anything about what we have. And he tells her for the rest of time, he's always going to choose her above everything else. Then he tells her she had a wild morning. Go ahead and take a nap. Matter of fact, he'll nap with her because he's pretty tired himself. He does not give a fuck about any possible concussions. He's like, let's both fall asleep right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You're gonna die, girl.
Why don't you sleep off that gash on your head?
Yeah.
3 months pass, and Haley and Levi go to the river every single morning together. It's fall now, and they're sitting on a rock together. She reaches into his pocket and pulls out an apple. They've been visiting the orchard regularly, tending to the trees, and yesterday, they finally found some fruit growing.
I know this world is a shitty place, and it doesn't seem to be getting better anytime soon, but we haven't lost everything, and we have so much more than we had 6 months ago. I really think we're going to have even more next year, and then the year after, and then the year after that. One day, those trees are all going to be blooming again. The whole world will be blooming. So this apple is hope. His mouth twists. He swallows hard, then he lifts the apple to his mouth and takes a bite.
Cute.
Yeah.
But it's sweet.
6 months later, they've successfully taken out the punks up north, and now things feel peaceful. Haley has a mirror propped up against her dad's truck, and she looks at herself as Becca helps her put on her tree necklace, and Haley looks herself over. She's got her hair and makeup done. Becca did her nails, and she's wearing a boho style cream dress that she bought before Impact. She grabs her bouquet of wildflowers, and Hawk walks her down the aisle to Levi, who's wearing a suit and staring at her with nothing but love in his eyes, and they get married in his family's apple orchard. The end.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yeah. Love that.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I really liked it. And I think I really liked the other one we did. What was it? Lights Out?
Last Light.
Last Light.
Lights Out's way different.
Yeah, way different. Last Light, I know I really like too. I think I give this one, honestly, 5.
It was cute.
It was really cute.
I love a cute book.
Claire Kent can do no wrong.
Well, what did you guys think of the book? What did you rate it?
I thought it was cutesy. I gave it a 3. Not because I didn't like it. I just wasn't like invested in the characters that much.
No, okay. I gave it a 4. I thought it was cute. I love that there was no third act breakup because I thought that was going to happen for sure when they got in a fight. And I was really mad for a second. But then he came back and was like, I love you. And I was like, oh, cute.
Yeah, it was just a third act fight.
It was just really short too.
It was really short. It's like 150 pages.
Yeah, it was just a short, cute, sweet book. Like, I'll tell everyone about it. I still will recommend it to everyone.
Yes, all of her books are super short too.
Oh, love that.
I gave it a 4. I really liked it. I really liked Levi.
Yeah.
And I just love Claire Kent. So 4 stars for me. Nothing will top Last Light in my mind, but.
No.
Last Light was so good.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Father Forgive Me by Jessa Riot. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay, so there's some blood splatter on it and like a necklace with a cross on it. And it says, warning, extreme graphic content. And then it also says, simply erotic, extreme horror novella. Ooh, I do love when we do like horror. Is this like actual horror?
It very much gave me Suck Mommy's Piss Flaps.
Yes! That's like one of my favorite books ever. So I think, because there's a cross on the cover, Father Forgive Me, I think it's going to be a slutty girl, and she is going into the church. First of all, she's a freak. I don't know. She, like, sleeps with people and maybe, like, stabs them, kills them, or just hurts them. I don't know. I just feel that. And then she, like, finds this priesty guy. And he's conflicted with his own, like, emotional, he's in a warfare in his mind because he wants to give in to this temptation, but he know he mustn't. God's his only temptation. That might be offensive. I don't know.
This book is going to be offensive. So.
Yeah.
And then he meets this girl. And like I said, temptation. They hit it off. She kills him in a church.
Whoa.
How'd I do?
There was like some things that you got pretty right.
Okay.
Some things that you didn't get pretty right.
Okay. Bits and pieces. I'll take it.
Yeah. We'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at @smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at @smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.